Good morning, everybody. It's good to be in the Lord's house. I was going to make fun of a ping pong injury, but I'm going to withhold just in case something stupid happens to me like that. So. That ping pong is dangerous stuff. I guess I am making fun of it, aren't I? My sermon is this morning is called Peace from Above. And so we're going to be talking about in Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9 today, as we've been working through the book of Philippians. We're getting close to getting to the end of it, and I'm really excited about this message today. I've really enjoyed preaching the book of Philippians. I hope you've enjoyed hearing it and studying it with me and going through it. And I hope that this, and pray that this message today is a blessing to you. I think it's really encouraging. I think you'll walk out of here encouraged with what the Word of God has to say to us today. But it's the title is Peace from Above. And certainly that is going to be the key to a real lasting peace, is one that comes from above, that comes from God Himself. And that's what we'll be talking about today. And I just want to just start off by saying that every life has its challenges, doesn't it? And the Christian life is no exception. You may think, or you may have heard somebody say from a pulpit, of all places, that when we're a Christian that we don't have any challenges and everything is just peachy keen and all of that. It is good. Life is good, and life is a gift, and it's wonderful. But it's certainly not without its challenges, that's for sure. And the Christian life certainly is no exception. In verse 6 today, and I'm not going to read it yet, but I'm just saying an introduction, that in verse 6 of Philippians chapter 4, the Bible tells us that we're not to be anxious, that we're not to be anxious. And when we look at that word anxious, an important fact as far as that word anxious is concerned is it means to be pulled in different directions. So when we're anxious, we're being pulled in all sorts of different directions. And I think every one of us, if we are honest, has been anxious about something at one time or another. Amen? And we understand what it means to be tugged in those different directions. And so one of the things that I want to kind of introduce this with is a few verses from Luke chapter 22 and verses 31 and 32. So if you're taking notes this morning, you can put in your notes Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. I want to read this to you before I get into Philippians today, because I think it sets it up nicely. In this situation here in Luke chapter 22 and verses 31 and 32, when we look at this here, it's before Peter's denial of Jesus, when he denied Jesus three times and Jesus was having a conversation with Peter. And so Jesus is telling Peter about a prayer that he had worded in Peter's behalf. And I want you to hear this. And then we'll kind of use this for the introduction this morning. In verse 31, Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." So with these verses here, these two verses here, I want to point out a couple things that go along with being anxious. The first thing that I want you to see here is that Jesus told Peter that Satan desired to sift him like wheat. And when it says that he desired to sift him like wheat, it meant that he wanted to shake him and separate Peter from his faith. He was saying to Peter that the devil himself wants to shake you, Peter, and separate you from your faith. Now, I don't think Peter is exclusive in this. We've seen it with like Job, and we've seen it in a lot of different situations. And really, frankly, probably as a Christian, we've probably experienced a little bit of this ourselves, where we know the devil or this world system is trying to separate us, to shake us, to separate us from our faith. And when we're separated from our faith, that's when we lose our peace. That's when we lose our peace, is when we're separated from our faith. And Jesus said that he had prayed that Peter wouldn't fail. You know, a lot of people like to talk about Peter like he had really failed and that kind of thing. But what I see happening with Peter in this situation and in this prayer that Jesus was saying is I see that Peter was just like any other human being, that we all get shaken at times. We all try to be separated from our faith. And during those times, we might not be at our very best. And certainly Peter wasn't at his very best when he denied Jesus. But we also see that after Jesus was resurrected, we look at Peter's life and really look at it with, in awe as far as a testimony is concerned. Amen? And we look at that as far as that's concerned. So when we see this word sifted, he was telling Peter that the devil was really trying to separate him from his faith. And so I just want to say that in our lives that the devil, the world forces, our flesh are all things that will try to separate us from our faith, to shake us. And when we're separated from our faith is when we don't have peace. You didn't hear me say that as Christians that we don't have any issues, but we can even have peace in the middle of our issues. And that's what we'll be talking about today. You know, stress can make people sick. There's ulcers, there's different things like that. As a matter of fact, stress can actually lead to one's death, strangely enough. And it's really important that we aren't, as Christians, that we aren't eaten up with stress, that we aren't anxious and those kind of things, and we can have a peace about us. And what I will say is we really, as a Christian, live in a pillar of fire and cloud environment. We really live in a pillar of fire and cloud environment. And so what do I mean by that when I say that? I mean, maybe some of you are acquainted with in the Bible where the children of Israel, when they were going through the wilderness, were led by a pillar of fire and cloud. And whenever it moved, they were to move with it because God was moving them. And whenever it was stationary, they were to be stationary. They were to go when God was saying go, and they were to stay when God was saying stay. And so when I say that each one of us as a Christian really lives in the middle of a pillar of fire and cloud environment, what I'm saying is, as Christians, the way that we live is we go when God says to go, and we stay when God says to stay, and we put ourselves under God's control and under God's leading. And when we do that, it doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter what we're going through. What matters is that we are abiding with Jesus and abiding in His Word during those times and following His lead. And when we do that, we will see today in the book of Philippians chapter 4 that's the way to get through this life with peace. And let me ask you a question. How many of you would like a little bit more peace in your life, right? I see a hand or two, but I think if everybody was really speaking out loud, we'd see the place full of hands, that's for sure. So imagine just for a second if we don't walk with Jesus constantly. Imagine if we're not walking with Him constantly. Imagine if we're not following His lead constantly. Those are the times that we'll find ourselves outside of peace. And so we'll be talking about being inside of peace today. Now, When we look at in verse 7, Paul mentions the word peace. And when we see the word peace, the peace of God is unlike any other kind of peace there is. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it's a peace that passes understanding, that God will give us a peace that passes understanding. It's way beyond our imagination what God can do. And I got to say, there's been some times where I think if it had been for God, it working in my life, I would have been probably very, very sick from stress. But when we're depending on God and letting God guide us through those situations, we actually get through it not unscathed, but actually with a lesson learned. So living within the peace of God is optimal for the Christian's well-being, even when there's spy balloons flying around, right? I mean, some people are really stressing on that. Maybe we should be, but I've gotten to the point now, it's like, man, I just want Jesus to come back. That's what I'll be okay with. And I certainly that we could do that. Now, in Philippians chapter 4, as we get ready to go into Philippians chapter 4, we're going to be in the introduction part of it. In the first part of the verses, we're going to see some members at the church at Philippi, a couple in particular, that are in the middle of a disagreement. Christian or not, we are all human beings. Amen? And since we're all human beings, we are all capable of being in a disagreement, even in a church. And at this church at Philippi, Paul starts off in chapter 4 talking about a disagreement that was happening between a couple of people. Paul is going to be challenging them to stand firm together. And that's an interesting statement that he makes, because he says to them, even though they are in a disagreement, they are church members, they are a family. And so they're to stand firm together. And so this starts talking about how peace can actually guide in our relationships, even in a church, or especially in a church where there should be peace that it's working in our lives. And we see this here. We see that he's encouraging them to come together on this and stand firm together. You know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking there's already not enough people in church. You know, there's not enough people in churches these days. There just isn't. Now, I know there are some that probably are full this morning. And if they're too full, we've got some extra places for them today if they want to try us out here. That's for sure. But I just got to say, we don't need to be doing things in a church that actually are driving people out. Like when these divisions come. A lot of times when we see these divisions come, there's one or two things that happens. Either number one, one of them or the other one of them will leave. Or they'll both stay. They'll both stay, and there'll be a faction, and people will be drawing sides in those kind of things. And so when we see what was happening here, Paul is saying that they need to stand firm together. And so when we hear that, that tells us an important thing, that we as church members, even when we find ourselves in a disagreement with somebody, we need to somehow find a way to come back together. And the peace of God is actually part of what Paul is prescribing as far as that's concerned. The peace of God is security for a human being. And the peace of God is security for a church and a church's well-being. And I just got to say that if there is a disagreement between one of us or something like that, we see here and we see what the Bible's telling us, that it's certainly something that can be overcome, and it's certainly something that must be overcome. Now, with that being said, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, and I will start reading. I'll read to you verses 1 through 5, and then we'll get to the first point this morning as we move away from the introduction. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, the Word of God says, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." And then he goes on in verse 2 and says, "And I entreat Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." So let's talk about these first five verses in introduction here. At the first part of this. My first point this morning is that we are to be in agreement in the Lord. We are to be in agreement in the Lord. Now, there's a big difference in this. I say agreement is to be in the Lord. We could all find ways to agree by compromising and maybe getting rid of this truth or getting rid of that truth because somebody has a different truth than the truth of the Word of God. But the Word of God is the one solid factor in this. The Word of God is the foundation for the truth for a church and its well-being. And so the agreement's got to be coming from the Word of God. If we have a disagreement in any way, we want to be in unity, but that unity needs to be built on truth, or it's not worth anything. So we don't want to just have peace for the sake of peace. We want a peace that's manufactured by God, not manufactured by men. That's for sure. And so this was obviously a challenge for this church. They were obviously having a small challenge there where there was this disagreement between these two ladies. But what I want you to see there is this. Was it a minor thing? Was this situation a small thing? Well, the way that Paul kind of just passes through it, you would kind of think it is a minor thing. But what I want to say is a minor thing can become a really big thing if it's not addressed while it's a minor thing. And so Paul is saying that you need to to help me, and you need to help them, and you need to help them come together in the truth. That was an obligation that they were having for the sake of peace in their church, as far as that was concerned. So when we see this here, we need to handle these situations in a correct way in order for it to just remain a minor thing, and then a minor thing becoming a passing thing. This is one of the beauties of the local New Testament church. One of the beauties of the local New Testament church is that we are all human beings, and we all have our own personalities, and sometimes there are those clashes that happen. But the beauty of a local New Testament church is it's not that we have these situations that arise from time to time, and then we run away from them, and then we are like one of those stories where a church is unsuccessful. No, the Bible's telling us that the way that we actually show to the world that there's something really true happening is that we can work through these things together, and the peace of God can be the victorious part of it, right? And so we see that there, and it's an important thing for us to take note. Another thing that I want you to see here is it wasn't just anybody. These ladies were very, very important laborers in the church. And I just want to say every laborer in a church is important. Every person in a local New Testament church is so very important for the well-being of that church and the testimony of that church. But it says that they were important laborers in the church. And Paul was saying, listen, we need to get to where there's peace in this situation. We need to get to where there's peace in this situation because they are laborers in the church. And whenever these things are going on, it's hard for the labor to get going. In a team sport like basketball, for example, if you have some of the individuals that are not getting along with each other very well and that kind of thing, it can really affect the outcome of the entire game. And just these little things that can happen between human beings in a church and co-laborers in a church, if those things aren't addressed when they're minor, it can become a big thing that can affect the well-being of that church and the efficacy of that church. And so that's why Paul is addressing it right up the front. He's saying, hey, while this is a minor thing, let's come together, let's help these ladies to actually come together, and let's have some peace and go forward with the testimony of the gospel. And that's what he was saying, and he was encouraging them to help here. And, you know, because we're Christians, more than anything, these things have to be worked out. These are things that need to be worked out amongst us. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, the Word of God says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. In other words, it's important how we walk. A lot of times we just are on autopilot, and we're not abiding with God, and so therefore we don't always have the peace of God working in our lives because we're just living life, and maybe we've been shaken apart from our walk with God and those kind of things. But the Word of God tells us that it's important that we carefully walk with God, that we pay attention to that. Not as unwise, but as wise. And then verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. We want to make the best use of our time. We live in some evil times right now, and people need the gospel. People need Jesus, don't they? I want to see people go to heaven, don't you? And that is the main thing. That is the most important thing. It's important that we're leading people to Christ. It's important that we're making disciples. It's important that we're growing. And it's important that we're working together. And so we want to keep the main thing by when the Word of God says, make the best use of time. It is not the best use of time. Eudeus and Syntyche, they were not making the best use of time being in disagreements with each other. I just got to tell you, you might feel like you're really right about something and you want to fight about it or something like that. But that's not making the best use of time in a church. It's not. And you might be just like, just a confrontational person. The other person might be right, but you just don't like to be told that they're right or something like that. The thing to do is to come together on what truth is and drop your pride and go on with truth, whatever that truth is from the Word of God. And so this is what Paul is getting at here. And then in verse 4, he goes on in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he goes on and tells them to rejoice in the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord. Listen, This is a really important thing that he's saying here. When we are all walking in God's peace as a local New Testament church, it is something that brings joy into our lives. Being in a church family is a joyous thing. And there's joy in serving the Lord together. If you don't believe me, serve the Lord by yourself. You can't do it. It's really hard to serve the Lord by yourself. We lift each other up. We edify each other. We encourage each other. We help each other grow. We love each other. And when one is down, then we get behind the person and we help them to get back up. And when one is celebrating, we're celebrating together. There's joy in serving the Lord. When somebody comes forward to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, that is a great thing, isn't it? Don't you, like for example, if a lost person was to come in here today and they were sitting here, and then at the end of the service today, somebody came forward besides them to be saved, they would be watching all of us with smiles on our faces, and they'd be going, what exactly are they happy about anyway? Because we know what a difference it makes to have Jesus in our lives, and we know what a difference it makes to have the peace of God and the Spirit of God working in our lives. And so there is joy in serving the Lord together. And there is joy in collectively seeing something accomplished in a local New Testament church. We see a lot of things now that are happening in this church here that when we really stop and think about it, we're like, man, this is amazing, some of the things that God is working in our church. It's amazing. We didn't even see it coming 3 years ago and those kind of things. And certainly we've had our own challenges like any other church, but we've seen some amazing things happen in this church, haven't we? And in these amazing things, we are collectively serving God together and finding joy in it. You know, joy is not something that we just manufacture. You know, hey, let's play some music and everybody get joyous, right? Well, that sounds great. But really, joy is something that God provides when we're walking with Him. It is something that's not manufactured by us, but it's something that's manufactured and provided by God and His truth. And that's an important thing that we need to understand here. It comes from a joy comes from our walk with God. Now, one of the things that I've noticed in a lot of comedians' cases, and I don't know. Maybe you're a person that really watches or listens to a lot of comedians and that kind of thing, and maybe you're a person that's like, not so much. But one of the things that I've observed in when you really get into the life of a comedian, when you find out a little bit more about them, is do you realize that a lot of comedians, some of the funniest people on the face of the earth, have gone through more trouble than you can imagine? You know, that's one of the weird things about it. Like, We went to a Christian concert one time, and there was a fellow by the name of David Meese that plays the piano. And he's a wonderful pianist, and he was a wonderful musician, and he provided a wonderful concert. But what we found out was he wasn't just a good piano player and wasn't just a good singer and performer and wasn't just really encouraging in the Lord with his message, but he was also extraordinarily funny. He was very funny. He literally... probably was more of a comedy act than even the music, even at times. But as you find out his testimony, he had things happen in his life he was sharing with us at different times where there was even one time where his dad drove through their house trying to run him over as a child. Now, you would think with a life like that's not very funny. But in a lot of those cases, those people actually learn to actually laugh about some of the things and find the lighter side of life and those kind of things. But, you know, when it comes to joy, it's something that we can't manufacture. It's something that God works in us, that God does in us. And so it's important that we know the difference. Let me just say this. A common misconception that I want to try to make straight here is this. Happiness and joy are two different things. Happiness and joy are two different things when we start looking in the Word of God. Now, don't get me wrong. Joy can create happiness. I mean, the joy of the Lord in my life and God doing some incredible things and the peace of God providing joy in my life can certainly bring a happy reaction. But heck, I find a lot of happiness when I have a big, giant pizza. But I don't know how happy it is and what happens to my stomach as far as that's concerned. And the older I get, the worse that it gets also. But when we look at the word joy in the Word of God, the word joy actually means calm delight. You know, a lot of people think, let's get joyous, and then they think we're supposed to be jumping around and bouncing around like a pinball in a pinball machine. But joy actually means calm delight. And in the case of joy in the Lord, it's talking about having a calm delight in the Lord. In other words, it's something that brings a real peace in our souls. A real peace in our souls. Now, with that being said, then I go to this next point that I want to share with you. And you've probably noticed this too. Some Christians, not me, you don't even know what I was going to say yet, and you're already... Some Christians are the biggest killjoys. So now everybody's like going, not laughing so much because they're going, well, I don't know about that. But seriously, some Christians are some of the biggest killjoys. They really are. And you know what? Can I tell you something? Listen, when we as a Christian can't find joy in the Lord and joy in serving the Lord and joy in being together in a church and we become that killjoy, it's really something that when we look at that there, that we are actually refusing to give God control of our lives. You say, no, I'm just, that's just my personality. Listen, when the joy of the Lord is working in us, we can find a way to get along with each other. We can find a way to work together. We can find a way to overcome those differences. And we can actually find a way to like just about everybody. And some people might say something like, well, one of the strongest Christians ever known was the most miserable person on the face of the earth. That's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous statement. When we look at this here, we see that this calm delight is something that's contagious, coming from God into us and working through us and going outward. And this is what Eudeus and Syntyche needed, that Paul is talking about here. They needed that. They needed that joy. They were laboring in God. They were working together. Their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Paul said. That means they were going to heaven. But they weren't happy, were they? And they weren't walking in God's peace, were they? And so, one of the amazing things, before I get to my second point this morning, one of the most amazing things that always has kind of baffled me, and when I worked in the corporate world, is you would go to a corporate meeting, and if it was like overnight before dinner, everybody would have dinner together. But before dinner, they would always have cocktail hour. And they would have their cocktail hour. Why would they have their cocktail hour? Why would they do that? They would do that, I swear, I think it's just where they could learn to get along with each other. I don't know what to say to so-and-so, but if I get a little cocktail in me, then maybe I can really talk to someone. But don't do too much because the boss is watching, right? And you're being tested. And all those stupid little corporate games that they would play. But you know what? The Bible tells us something that's really important. The Bible tells us to be filled with God's Spirit. And what I want to say is, with a Christian, when we are abiding in God's peace and we're abiding in God's joy and we have God's peace working in us, we have God's Spirit working in us. You know, that's one of the things that me as a person, I've always said to people, and some people go, I kind of get it, and other people go, you got to be kidding me. But I've always said, I'm kind of an introvert. And I can actually, I'm one of those kind of people that can kind of hang out by myself and be okay. I mean, it's true. But when I look at that situation there, when I think about what I do and getting around the people of God, I find with God's Spirit working in me that it's not a matter whether I'm an introvert or an extrovert. It's more to do with the joy of the Lord is working in me, and I find it pleasant to be around God's people. And so this is what Paul is getting at here. As a matter of fact, in verse 5 of Philippians chapter 4, Paul uses the term of being reasonable and gentle. Being reasonable and gentle. And I just want to say that you want to talk about reasonable and gentle, you can talk about something that you've worked really hard on in your character, But what I want to tell you is with God working in you, and when God's working in us and we're walking in God's Spirit, we're at our most reasonable and gentle points in our life. Which leads to my second point here. My second point is that we can have peace through prayer. Paul, the next thing that Paul's getting ready to share with us is that we can have peace through prayer. And it's not just like, okay, do you need peace? Then just pray. But yet it is. Look at this here. I mean, we hear bumper sticker statements, or we remember that old song, if you're as old as I or older. And if you're younger, you may not know what I'm talking about, but remember the song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Don't worry, be happy, you know. Woo, you know, and all that kind of stuff. That's okay, I'm not going to sing. I started to, and I thought, nope, stop, right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need a little peace in here. Please don't sing. But you know, that song was just real, like, bumper stickerish. Don't worry, be happy. And you get the person that looks at you and you go, hey, don't worry, be happy. They're like, easy for you to say. You're not going through what I'm going through, right? You've never gone through what I've gone through, a lot of people say. And maybe we haven't. You know, we always have the people who say, I know how you feel. And they don't have a clue. And that's not comforting, by the way. But what I will say here is Paul is telling us in verses 6 and 7 of Philippians chapter 4, don't worry, pray. Don't worry, pray. I know you're like me probably, and you're saying, yeah, but I'm a realist, Brother Robert, and I live in the real world and real problems. But I'm just telling you right now, the Word of God is saying, don't worry, pray. Listen to this. In verse 6, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. In other words, he's saying, when he uses that word anxious, don't let that situation separate you from your faith. Don't let it separate you from your faith. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And listen to this. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds to Christ Jesus. That sounds a lot like a promise to me. How about you? It does. I mean, do you see it? Do you see it here? He's saying anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Is it in your Bible? Because I'm seeing it in mine right here. You know, we sing the song, Everything to God in Prayer. Remember that hymn? Everything to God in Prayer. And that's what Paul is saying here. And the first thing that he says about this prayer is he's saying, say our prayers with thankfulness. Say our prayers with thankfulness. When we pray and we're anxious, he's saying, don't forget in your prayer when you're praying to God to be thankful. Could he be saying, even be thankful for the problem, the challenge? Yeah, he is. Because he's saying it doesn't matter what it is, he's going to help you through it. He's going to help us through it. He's going to work these things through it. And when it comes to these ladies that were having the problem in the church, he was saying to them that go to God in prayer about this issue. Don't fight with each other and that kind of thing. And he's saying to us, whatever you're going through, don't get anxious about it. Pray about it and be thankful. You know, just real quickly, I want to share just a quick testimony about some of my prayers. One of my prayers was that, dear Lord, give me the opportunity to actually be a pastor in a church and get out of this corporate mess that I was in. It was in my prayer. And I prayed 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 and he just never answered. He just never answered. And then he did. In his time, after working out the things that he was working out in my life that I had no idea that needed to be worked out on because I felt like I had already arrived. No. So did somebody say, no, that's right. I still haven't. Man, a rough crowd today, man. Hard on me. But you know, here I am, like it or not. Here I am, and I got to tell you, since that happened and that prayer has been answered, I've had more peace in my life than I've ever had in my life. That's just a testimony. That's not me bragging. Or it's me bragging on God, not myself, right? Okay? And I just want to say that's the case, because I wanted to serve God in this capacity and the burden that was in my heart with everything in me. And so we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And so here I am, and now that I'm here, I want to be thankful that I'm here. And I am thankful that I am here. But there's days where I look around and I go, Lord, there's so many empty spaces in the pews here. And surely if you're going to bring me here and I'm going to answer your call, the pews would be full. But they're not. I don't even have to be kidding about that. I mean, we're all sitting here, right? We see it, right? You know, there's lots of room for lots more people. But not for the people's sake, but for the sake of souls being saved and disciples being made and growth and serving God together as a church. Working through the problems that Paul's talking about here. But here's what I'm getting at in my testimony part, and this is why I'm sharing with you. Here I did, I prayed for these things, and I prayed with thankfulness, and God made it possible, and then here I am getting discontent again. And getting anxious again. What's going on? Maybe I'm not this. Maybe this isn't happening. Maybe we're not doing this right. Maybe not this. And what the Word of God is saying is, don't be anxious about it. Just pray about it. Just trust God about it. Right? Or worry about it and burn a hole in your stomach. Either one. You know, it's a choice, right? But when we look at this here, he says, with thanksgiving and supplication. Thanksgiving and supplication. What is this word supplication getting at here? I'm just going to make this really simple here. When we look at the word supplication, it means with intensity in our spirit. Intensity in our spirit. So Paul is saying, don't be anxious. Don't have your faith separated by the things that are going on in your life. Talk to God about it. And when you talk to God about it, don't forget to be thankful for what God's doing and what He's done and what He's going to do. But he also uses the word supplication. We sometimes say, and here's my example of supplication. We sometimes, when we talk about our prayers, we, dear Lord, thank you for our food. And Lord, I pray that souls will be saved. Amen. And then we eat our dinner, were we too concerned about those souls being saved? No. Supplication is saying, when you pray to God, we're being thankful for all the things, and we are intensely talking to God about it. Let your soul cry out to God. In other words, take whatever that anxiousness is and turn it into energy towards God and saying, God, this is what is bothering me. This is what's troubling me. And pour it out to Him. And then leave it with Him. That's what he's saying. That's what's getting at here when we talk about supplication. Does that make sense? Paul says that the peace of God is beyond human comprehension. Listen, I've had some things happen before, like, there's not very much money in the bank account right now, and then payday came, and peace, right? That's very normal. But the peace that comes from God is way beyond that. It's way beyond that. So far beyond that. And you know what? It tells us the peace that passes understanding keeps our minds and our trust on God. When God comes through and provides that peace that we need because we've prayed to Him and shared our anxiousness with Him and left it with Him, when we do that, God gives us a peace that does what? This is really important. This is a big part of this sermon today. It teaches us to trust God. To trust God. Amazing. Who in the world would not want Jesus Christ in their life? I can't imagine. because right there is something that I'm not bragging about. I want everybody to have this, but as a Christian and as a church, we have this when we walk in God's truth. What I'm saying is prayer is a gift. Prayer is a gift that oftentimes we as Christians, we overlook it. You don't believe me? You say, oh, no, we don't. We pray all the time. Here's a case in point. Here it is. When something's going on, how many times have we been sitting together with other Christians and go, maybe we ought to pray about this? And everybody goes, you know, that's crazy, but maybe we should. What's wrong with us? Why haven't we been praying about it? And then we start praying about it. Prayer is a gift that we overlook. We like to do it ourselves. My last point this morning is God has our backs. God has our backs. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, the Word of God says this. Finally, brothers, Paul goes on and says, finally, after all these things that he said to us this morning, he says, finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen to me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul is saying, if you'll do what I say here, what the Word of God is telling us to do, if you will do this, he says, do you see it? If you do these things, if you practice these things, the God of peace will be with you. Not maybe, he will be with you. Sounds like another promise. Let me just say this. An important part of actually putting this into application is don't just let your emotions and your situations affect your well-being. Be outside of your emotions and your situations as far as that's concerned. Why? So you can let God have your back. Yeah, you Christians are weak and God is your crutch. You betcha. If Gabriel can wear a boot, then God can be my crutch. Man, that felt good to say. I don't know if that makes any sense, really. Put in your notes 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6, the Word of God says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Hey, when we got God on our side and we're operating in God and we're operating in His peace and operating in His guidance, we are knocking down strongholds, not us, but God is knocking down strongholds that are wiping other things out. You know, spiritual, supernatural kind of stuff. The devil's got to just leave us alone when we're walking with God. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, the Word of God says, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. The Word of God's telling us that we will no longer be subject to these stupid little things that try to separate us from our faith and separate us from our peace. And we'll just trust in God. And it'll be taken captive by Jesus Christ. He'll take care of it. Isn't that amazing? And then verse 6 says, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. In other words, all the things that make a mess out of our life can be taken captive and stomped on and crushed and thrown to the trash. Paul is saying and telling us that the truth of God's word must be our guide. Why? For that peace that passes understanding. For that ability for us as a local church to overcome our little differences from time to time. And not just overcome our little differences, but to really enjoy the things that God is doing in our lives together. Amen? And for that reason alone, this place ought to be full. For that reason alone, this place ought to be full. No, we want to keep it all to ourselves. No, that's not the way that God works. He died on the cross that everyone could have salvation. Amen? The truth of God's word leads us to proper thought. Proper thought. And proper thought really protects us. Matter of fact, he talks about things like, whatsoever things are pure and lovely and good report. These truths will be the things from God's word that provide us proper perspective. It will get rid of the stinking thinking in our lives. And then we also see those things that are virtuous and praiseworthy. Well, those are the things that lead us to moral excellence. Those are the things that lead us to moral excellence. I was talking to a fellowship with a good brother of mine this week, and we were talking about how sinful we really are in our flesh. We were talking about how sinful we really are. The Bible says that we're desperately wicked. And then it scared me because we got to thinking about, man, where will your mind, where will my mind go? And would we share all of those things with everybody? I know, that's a really uncomfortable statement I just made. But what I'm getting at is, we're really a mess in our flesh. But the thing that brings brothers and sisters together, husbands and wives, families together, and brings us and gives us the right kind of thinking is not flesh. It's spirit. It's God's spirit working in us and God's truth working in us. And it changes us. And it gets us lined up to where we don't have to get caught up in the mess. And that's what Paul's saying. And not only is that what Paul's saying, he's saying, and this is what I found to be true, and this is what I'm sharing with you. And this is what you, church at Philippi, he says, need to be doing because it will work immeasurably for the success of that church. And in this church too, by the way. That's why we get to look at it in God's Word. In conclusion, the Word of God gives us a godly worldview. We need a godly worldview. A godly worldview will propel us in peace right on into eternity. Paul's saying this is the way he's lived, and he was saying this while he was sitting in a prison cell. And he said, it works. He was sitting there in captivity saying, I am so happy about you guys. And I'm so happy about what God's doing. And I'm so happy about my future. And I'm so happy about those things. Or not happy, but joyous. There was something on the inside of him that was saying, there is such a peace about what God's doing. I don't know about you, but sitting in a jail cell or in at least locked up doesn't bring peace in my mind as I think about it. But when we look at Paul's testimony, God can do something that I can't do. Can he? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Word of God tells us. And then we're given that measure of faith, it tells us in Romans. And with that measure of faith, we pray. And when we pray, God takes over. He gives us the faith to trust him. And then we pray to him and say, here it is, Lord, you're in charge. And he says, and here's the peace to get you on through to eternity. Isn't that amazing? In a biblical church, and that's what Paul was wanting for the church at Philippi, and that's what the Lord wants for this church today. This is the way a biblical church operates. And I just want to finish with this question here. What if, from the youngest person in this church to the oldest person in this church, what if that was our culture, what we just talked about? What if that was really our culture in this church? What would it look like? What would it be like? And I'm telling you that the Bible's telling us this is what it needs to be. This is where we need to go. Let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that it will speak to our hearts, Lord, and that your spirit will have its way in our lives, Lord, and that you will have your way in our lives, that we will be trusting you. And Lord, that we will cast our cares upon you, Father, and give them to you. And Lord, you want to hear our prayers. You say that you want to hear our prayers. And through your Son, Jesus, you've made a way where we can come right directly to your throne. There's nothing keeping us from praying, Lord, and we are so thankful for that. And Father, I pray that if there's anybody here today that doesn't know your Son, Jesus, as their Savior, they haven't been born again, and so therefore don't even have an understanding of this peace that your word talks about, Lord, I pray that today the unrest in their souls, your spirit will speak to their souls. And as your spirit speaks to their souls, they will trust you today to be their Savior and ask for forgiveness of their sins, knowing that your Son Jesus paid the price on the cross for their sins and that he overcame death and is alive now to where they could have just peace in this life and peace forever. Lord, I pray that today that will be the day that that person trusts you. Father, I pray that you'll be with us in this church, that we will not be people that get offended and walk away, but that we work things out together in your truth, and we keep pushing on to the great things that you want to do in our lives. Lord, let us be that church. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for a morning service. If you live in Midland or the surrounding area, we hope to see you in person. We are located at 1305 North Midland Drive, south of the Andrews Highway and north of Cuthbert Street. We are also distributing copies of the Lives of Jesus DVD. If you'd like a copy, our email address is ahbcmidland@gmail.com. Have a great week, and may God bless.